Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church podcast. We're glad you've joined us to listen to a message from our pastor, Ashley Ellison. We believe God's word is powerful and that it can be applied to our lives so that we may live victoriously. Let's join Pastor Ashley now as he shares the word with us.
I don't know if you guys were aware of the storm that took place Sunday night. And Jerry Limley, one of my pastors that spoke into my life years ago a lot, their little town, Sulphur, Oklahoma, where he's from, was just torn to shreds. And here's what I can tell you, his church wasn't. And so now the church has become the headquarters to rebuild a city. And I just thought, that's my message. The message that God has laid on my heart is the church has to become your central focus for you to affect culture. So I want to say thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for your time this weekend. And I'm not condemning anybody for not being here, but if you weren't, listen, because it's just highly important. That storm that hit Sunday night, I was not aware it was coming. I just hadn't been paid much attention. Anybody else that kind of catch them by surprise? I mean, the dinosaur tree's gone. It's horrible. Well, I was sitting inside and I heard thunder. And I had my grandkids over and I'm like, there's thunder going on. And so we ought to pay attention to the weather. This is before that my phone just started going crazy and saying, take cover. You know, this before any of that, I just heard some thunder. Well, I like to be able to sleep when the wind blows. I like to be able to sleep when things are going on because I've got everything covered. Well, my truck was outside and I thought, it needs to be inside. If it's thundering, there's always a chance this time of year for hail. So I thought I better go out and move my truck. So I just casually walk outside. It's barely sprinkling. And so I go out and I'm walking out. I no more get out of my door and I'm walking on the driveway over to my truck. And I'm talking about a lightning bolt hit. And it was, if you want to see it, it's a tree right when you're exiting tonight, straight across from our exit, and it exploded this tree. I was outside when that thing happened. And I was like, when it hit, there was water in the air, and I felt electricity. And I'm telling you, it was one of those things that I thought, you better get undercover right now. And there was an urgency. And I had been on the message that I'd heard this weekend, the urgency that we, and I mean, I couldn't get in that truck fast enough. And I got in the truck and I'm like, and I dashed a whole 10 yards. And I got in my truck and so I'm pulling it into the garage and I'm thinking, I beat the hell, but the lightning almost beat me. And so I'm pulling it in the garage while I'm putting my truck in my lower garage, which is a little ways from my house. And I'm standing there at my garage door and I'm looking up and I'm going, that's a long way to the, that's way more than 10 yards. And just so you know, it's been a long time since I've done any sprinting. I mean, 10 yards just about 5 minutes before that. And that's about all it was. Let me just tell you, the urgency that was in me, I thought, I'm not going to let lightning get me because I was just hanging out. And so I pushed the garage door button, and like we all do, you push the garage door and you leap over the little sensor, and I'm like, vroom, and I'm going as fast as I can to the house, and I get in, and I'm like, I'm like, that was probably a 100-yard dash, and I'm guessing 5 some seconds. It was fast. It was fast. I don't think you realize what you can do when you realize the pressure's on. And I just want you to know, I believe that there's an urgency with what's going on in our world. And that's why God led me to host these guys in, because they live with an urgency. They live with an urgency, and I'm telling you, it will benefit your life to listen to what they had to say, because they produce that. And so that's kind of what led me to what I want to talk about this evening. I just think it's important for us to understand that there is an urgency for both sides, God's side and the enemy's side. The enemy knows it's got to be getting close. He ain't dumb. And he's got an urgency to keep people away from hearing, from receiving what God wants to do. And please hear me, I'm not whooping anybody tonight. I'm encouraging you. That lightning's out there. And he's wanting to get it right next to you. He's wanting to destroy your life. And if you're not running, you're an easy target. And so what I just want you to know that there is, I spoke about this last year quite a bit. There's a heart issue, and the enemy's always trying to get the heart. And he's trying to get the heart side that controls the mind, will, and emotions, because he can't touch your spirit if you know Jesus. And so his urgency is for you to not receive what God has for you. And so we've got to learn, and I spoke some of this to our youth last month in chapel. We have to learn to guard our heart so we can stay moving. Because if we're not guarding, the next thing you know, we're not placing an emphasis where it needs to be. All right, let me get into the word tonight. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. There was a guarding of a lightning bolt. When this lightning bolt hit, there was something that I wanted to guard myself above what could be happening. I didn't want to get hit. And I just think in the Christian life, if we would start realizing the importance that we have to guard what God has entrusted us with, it would eliminate a lot of the devil's strategies and schemes and wiles, if you want to use scripture. He has all of those to try to take you out. But if you'll place a guard around, I never felt better about being in a truck than right after that lightning strike. Lightning hits, I want to be in a vehicle that has rubber tires. I don't know a lot about it, but somebody once told me that was a safe place to be. I want a protection, and I don't want to be taken out. Proverbs 23:7, our thinker gets messed up. See, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so when you understand that your heart possesses your spirit man and your soul man, which one's thinking for you? So a man thinks inside of his heart, that's who you are. And I want the right one thinking. So I need to guard that I don't get the wrong one in control. Jesus came to preach the good news. He came to make a difference in our lives. And so I want to ask you a question tonight. What looks different in your life because you now know Jesus? What's different in your life as opposed to someone who don't know Jesus? Or does it look identical? I mean, what is different? What has been good news for your life? The other thought that I've had over the weekend is we feed our flesh a lot. And you know what causes the flesh to be fed is not guarding your thinker. What feeds the spirit man is the Word of God. And I'm finding that when the Word is absent, immediately we default to the flesh and we start thinking with the wrong side of the heart. People they've got to start seeing a difference in us and the way we think, the way we operate. There just has to be something different because we have the good news. So what's good news for you in your life? Well, I get to go to heaven, Pastor. I get to go to heaven. Well, praise the Lord. There's a difference. And I know people that are so excited about heaven, they don't really care about what's going on here, and they just live like they're already there. Okay, if that's how you're living, that's fine. But most of the people say, yeah, I get to go to heaven one day, but right now I just got to figure out how to live until I get there. But there's a couple different thoughts, and I'm not putting down heaven's going to be great. Romans 12, verse 2. In the King James says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be conformed. What's conformed to the world? It's conformed to their way of thinking. The world thinks different than we do, or do they? I just don't want to be caught thinking like the world. I don't want to be conformed to the world's thinking. That's not where I want to be, because the Bible says not to be. It says don't do that. And then it tells you how not to be. You transform by renewing your mind. So daily there's a renewing that's got to take place. What goes in your heart is what oftentimes comes out. You are what you eat. You ever heard that? What goes into you is what comes out of you. And what goes in, it becomes a product of who you are. And so if the word's not going in, I'm just guessing that's not what's coming out. But I have yet to ever do and meet with someone to counsel, ever, that I don't reflect on the last thing I read out of the word. Yeah. It's just amazing to me. But the last thing that I read is what I give counsel on. And I can tell you, it takes me a lot longer to get there if it's been a day or two since I've been in it. But if I'm in it that morning, if I'm in it that, then that's what starts coming out of my mouth, because what comes out is what you put in. Now, I don't ever really want to counsel anybody right after I've watched the evening news. But there are some people that that's all they watch. That's all they feed themselves. And before long, what's coming out is, I just don't know how we're ever going to make it. And they guide their life based on their input, and their input is feeding their mind, will, and emotions, and it's not taking them anywhere positive. The enemy's feeding them. How you're thinking and what you're guarding will be what you allow in you. It really will. So we got to guard our thoughts and we got to guard our hearts. We as Christians should be conforming the world's thinking, not being conformed to the world's thing. We need to be conforming their thinking. I can't keep my mouth shut when I hear someone say something that just doesn't make any sense according to the Word of God. Now, there are times I open my mouth, and I probably shouldn't have, because I didn't do it in love. And so I want to make sure that I'm doing everything I can to, okay, here's the problem. And the world is conforming to a world's way of thinking more and more every day. And the world is controlled by the little g God, the devil. If control was handed over to him, and Jesus came to win it back, then we've got to live according to the winning side, not the one who's... And I can't get it out of my head, because I just think there's not an urgency with God's people. And I will be talking about this on Wednesdays and what we've got to do to get urgent. There's an urgency. We claim Christianity and we look like we're conformed to the way the world's doing it. When you line up a Christian's life and a non-Christian's life in so many arenas, at your work, maybe at your family reunions, and you know the ones that claim Christianity, they look no different. Why? Because God's people aren't guarding themselves. That's what it is. So I want to ask yourself, I want you to ask yourself, do your thoughts line up with God's thoughts in every situation? Here's what I'm finding God's people doing. They're trying to find an excuse as to why they're doing what they're doing. Or they're saying, God, thank you that I'm doing what I'm doing. It really is that simple. Well, I just don't know what, we'll talk to him about it. I just don't know what God would say. Talk to him about it. Get some scripture to back up what you're doing. You're getting ready to move. And as you move, there's got to be some scripture that backs up while you're moving. I don't want to move if I don't have a scripture to back up. I don't want to make a decision if I don't have some scriptures that will validate where I'm headed. Now know this. I'm not saying he's going to control every move, but when you start making decisions and he's giving you the free will to make them, just say, God, I thank you that you're excited about this move with me. If you can't say that, you need to not move. Well, should we go see that movie? That's a great question. God, thank you that you want me to see that. Because this is going to, God, I thank you that this is going to conform my way of thinking to yours. Or is there something here that could take me and feed flesh? Or is there, God, I can't tell you, since I started thinking more like this over the last 30 years, there's been a lot of movies we've walked out of. And I walked in thinking, okay, if God was sitting right here by me, would he be like, yeah, wasn't that fun? That was great. See, I have to start asking myself, is God pleased with the decisions that I'm making? Am I guarding what I'm doing? Young people, when you're on a date, how far can I go? Just thank God sitting right there with you. God, tell me. God, thank you. Thank you that I have no boundaries. You obviously have not read the word. Because he has some real specifics that aren't suggestions, they're commands on how you operate. See, there's just so much, and it's not for your detriment, it's for your benefit. So we guard our thoughts, and we don't conform to the world's way of thinking. So I'm always asking, God, are you conforming how I'm thinking? Is this being conformed more to you? Has this been through my mind and it's transformed me? It's made me different. I'm renewed. Or is this taking me away from you? It's just that easy of a question. Is this someone else's thought and I'm just submitted to what someone else has said or done? We've got to ask ourselves, who is making the decisions in my life? Who is? Is what you just saw in the news making your decision? Is the TV show you watched last night determining that? How about this? Is your blood sugar making the decisions on your attitude today? There's just so much. Is someone else's anger in a situation making up your mind on how you're going to make a decision? Is someone else's offense? Is it because the way your parents taught you at an early age? Or your friends that you have right now? Or that are speaking into your life? Is it the music that you're listening to? Is it the entertainment? Is it the worldview? Is it the book you're reading? Come on, we can just keep going. Whatever it is in life, there's something being fed you. And so I'm not trying to get all legalistic. I'm just trying to tell you, I'm not here to guard your hearts. You're to do that. The Bible says, hey, you guard your heart. And I've got to work on this every day. And you've got to work on, because that is what will produce a God kind of life. You've got to take every thought captive. And once it's captive, okay, that means it's not going anywhere. This thought is not going anywhere. It's captive. Now I ask, is it to the obedience of Christ? And if it is, then I release it and I head towards the things of God. That thought's okay. This seems so elementary, but it's so vital. Is this the thought that would be in obedience to the way that God says I should live? This TV thing for years has been a big area of controversy, and people get convicted about what's on TV. And I've seen Christians, and maybe you've been one of them, that just says, there's not going to be a TV in my house. Well, great, but don't condemn anybody else because it's one in theirs. I'm not here to tell you what you should or shouldn't have. What I'm telling you is, you don't have to guard something that's not there. You have to guard what is there. So if you have a TV, you've got to guard what feeds out of it into you. And you guard what you're watching. And you do that by trying to put what they're feeding into your captivity and then line it up with obedience. And if it's not obedient to Christ, then it's got to go. We can't be watching that. Shows in today's world, that they will show you so many wrong things that they try to convince you is normal. And I think God's people aren't oftentimes aware of it. And I'll get to why here in a second. But, I mean, they show men and women just living together and not married all the time. The bad guy gets the glory in a situation when it should have been that he was the loser. The bad guy should be the loser, not the winner. Cop shows, finding out who did something, shows a scene, and it shows maybe a wreck. And here's how I've watched them open. A wreck at the front of the show. And I mean, we're watching this on TV, and somebody's hurt, and they're like, okay, the bad guy got away. And so we get on the phone and we call a team of investigators. Well, here's what nobody even sees. This is all great. We're going to get somebody to investigate. We're going to catch the bad guy. But what you didn't see is when you called the team of investigators, they are woke up. They wake up when they get the phone call, and they are in bed with somebody who's they're not married to. And you don't even think about it, but it just produced in our world that that's normal. And this is a good guy because he's the investigator. And the whole movie, he's getting ready to go out there, and you didn't even realize what just got put in because you weren't guarding. You didn't bring that thought that they just put in you captive. And sometimes they'll call and they're in bed with somebody. A lot of them, they're in a bar in a scene that we wouldn't consider. You never see them call somebody and they're in a Bible study. I mean, I don't know if you've ever thought of that, but we're just not guarding because we're just unaware that there was an agenda to make things normal that God says are not right. The writers are selling a worldview to us. Are you hearing this? Conversation of teens on shows. I just can't even get over what I have grandkids, so I've started watching some shows again that I haven't watched since my kids were younger. And I'm starting to listen to conversation, even on cartoons. And I'm listening to the way they talk about their parents. And comments are made, oh, please just don't tell them. And we're wondering why our kids are trying to keep everything from us when we put that right in front of them and say, this is how kids should act. You got to guard the ones who haven't figured out how to guard themselves yet. It's just important. I just want you to see it. There is a writer of everything that you watch that is selling something. What are they selling? Now, I could talk about all the negatives, and that's why I want you to listen to Chuck, because Chuck was talking about some things that are going on in our world that's really awesome with our culture. And what I can tell you is I do like when I turn some weather on, and I've heard different meteorologists, even on our local channel, say, hey, for those of you that are going to be at Wednesday night service tonight, you want to pack an umbrella. I'm like, I love that. He just put something in the hearts of people that are sitting there, and they weren't going to go, but now he just said that, and praise the Lord. You heard something that was said. America is polling 80% Christian, and that number is not going up, it's going down. Yet we're voting and we're living life that is producing a nation that's under a curse. But yet we're 80%, here's what's happening. God's people for the last 20 to 30 years don't understand the agenda because they haven't been guarding. Now, I've got to talk about the guard because it's important. We've got to turn this around. Most people don't even know why they think the way they think. It's because they're not aware what they're feeding in every day. Generations before us, I didn't mention this to any of our CMA students because I don't really know if they've ever even heard of these. But you got enough old people in this crowd right here that you will have known. That okay, I'm one of them. Leave It to Beaver. There we go. How about Roy Rogers? How about the Andy Griffith Show? Does that take your mind anywhere? See, they were always doing something good when they were called to the scene of something that was going on, and they go to that scene, and then they'd make it even better. There was a wrong going on, but they were doing good when they were called, and then they go out to where they needed to be, and it'd make it better. And now we make fun of those type of shows. It's not what we now have on TV. Our jokes have something hidden underneath them, making fun of someone. Come on. Y'all have seen what I'm talking about. What if our hit shows that were out there right now was everybody doing something godly, and then they get a call and they bring the word to the situation and it makes it even better? I'm just saying, because that's not what's happening, you better be on guard. Because you're not getting fed what's going to increase the things of goodness and the things of God in our world. I'm encouraging our church to be careful what you allow into your mind. Teaching your family is very important, because you're shaping your thinking every time you walk out of here, every time you turn your phone on, every time you look at anything, there's a shaping going on. You just always need to know that. And more than ever, you need to know you're being shaped. You're being shaped. The enemy's doing everything he can. And here's how we're shaped. We're shaped by what's put into us. We're shaped by what's put into us. Watch what's being fed into your mind. Guard, and let me use a different word here, police your thoughts. Police your thoughts. And I like that word, and here's why. Because if you're bringing a thought captive, what do police do? If it's out of line, they're going to, I watch the show Cops. You ever seen that show? And I mean, I kind of like it, because the cop's out doing good, and then he gets a call of something going on bad. Then he goes and he tries to remove the bad and make things good again. Now, the stuff in the middle, I'm always going, how can people act that way? I don't know about you. I mean, really. But it's our world, and so I shouldn't be surprised. And here's one of my favorite lines. I'm not arresting you. I'm just detaining you while I investigate. Have you ever heard that? I love that line. That means they're not in trouble, but right now I don't trust you. That's how we need to be with our thoughts. I'm not saying this is bad, but right now I'm detaining you for just a second. And I'm a police officer. And here's what I can tell you. When it lines up and it's working with the things of God, I'll release you and we can go forward. Does that make sense? I just thought that was, as I was just thinking this through, it happens all the time. 2 Corinthians 10:5, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The NLT in verse 3 says, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. Let me say it like this. We don't wage war in the flesh. That's not how we do that. We are God's mighty weapons, not world weapons. Not worldly weapons to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and destroy false arguments. That's what we do. We destroy false arguments. We knock down human reasoning and we bring a God reasoning onto the scene. And you can't do that if you don't stop before you act. And if you're only acting based on your mind, will, and emotions, you're going to find yourself frustrated. Someone does something to me or says something to me, I'm telling you, I have to take thoughts captive. It happens as a pastor all the time. Frustrated about someone else, and I've got to bring a thought captive. And wait, before I let this go, let's see where Christ is being glorified. And there's obedience here to his way of thinking. And so I capture a thought before it gets into rebellion. Rebellious thoughts are going to be there because we live in a fallen world. And you're fighting the flesh every day. And so sometimes you just want to give a person a 1, 2, 3. I was there today. I had a scratch that I was getting fixed on one of my vehicles. And so they came up here and I was giving it to them. And they did a walk around my vehicle. And on their walk around, they said there was 3 scratches on my passenger side. And the scratch I was getting fixed was on my driver's side. And I said, there's no scratches on the passenger side. It's not perfectly clean, but there's not a scratch. And I tried to get it clean as I could based on the time. There's not a scratch on the passenger side. The scratch that you're fixing is over here. Yeah, but we have to do a complete walk around and make a note of everything so you don't blame us. And I said, okay. So they walked around and did it all. And they said, now I need you to sign this affirming what we found. And I said, I won't sign that. There's not a scratch on my vehicle. Well, I saw a scratch, and I said, I didn't. Everyone you pointed out, I had a little cloth, and I said, look, that's just dirt. And I'm telling you, I was sitting here fighting, what am I going to do? And it was tough, and I knew I was preaching about this tonight. And I'm like, okay, why do right after I preach something, I get tested? I'll get to that later too. And so I'm standing there, and I'm like, okay, I don't have a scratch. Well, you'll have to sign this or you can't leave your truck. And I said, okay, I guess I can't leave my truck, but it's here under a scratch you put on it, not me. It was already, it came from the factory that I need it fixed. And I'm telling you, I needed Keith Henson standing beside me because he and I talk about these things all the time. About, seriously, you're going to, and boy, I just wanted to 1, 2, 3 him. And I thought, no. Captive. Bringing that thing in here and I'm not releasing it yet because I got to make sure it's to the obedience of Christ. And I said, I don't know what to do right now. I don't want to drive away. Is there someone else that come out here? If we can get a cloth, if we can do something. I just want to do something to show you that's not a scratch. And I don't want to sign what is a scratch because that makes me look like I've done something that you're supposed to be fixing. And if I did that, you might have done this. And then I didn't say any of that, but these were thoughts that just, sometimes I feel like a woman. Not because I'm questioning my gender. But I've heard my wife talk about, you just can't shut them thoughts off, right? That's where I was today. I'm like, and I'm like, I've got all these thoughts of what to say. And men, okay, just know this. Men, they can go to this place in their mind that nothing's going on. But when I am being controlled by a thought that I'm letting release, I'm telling you 100 things go through. Come on. Are you hearing me? I can't stop that thinker. It's just going and going and going. And so I'm sitting here, okay, God, I need your help. And I've been studying this verse, bring every thought captive. So it was easy because it was on my head. Yeah. Bring this thought captive. That wasn't a put down to women. Please don't hate me for that. There's a difference in the way we're made up. I get that. So I sit there, well, here's the end of the story. The lady said, you know what? We deal with people that are mad at us all the time and mean. You have been so nice to us. And she walked inside and got the manager of the collision department, came outside, and he said, let me look at that. And he brought a little cloth and he wiped it, and he said, okay. And told his team, he said, listen, he's right, these aren't scratches. And so if you will, let's just wipe off anything that you found, let's make a new sheet up, and let's not make him sign something that's not. And he apologized to me, and those two that were out there, one of them was in training. He goes, I was just told to mark everything down that I remotely saw. And I said, I get that because you're protecting your side. And I'm protecting this side, and here's what didn't have to happen. We didn't have to get into a fight. We didn't have to. We both just operated. We shook hands when we were done. Thank you. It was great to meet you. And oh, are you, Christians, we've got to operate different than what they're used to. And it happens a lot easier when the word's in you.
Yeah, that's true.
But there's a fight that has to happen. But if I hadn't been reading about bringing all thoughts captive, I'm telling you, I could have easily fallen to making myself look just like the world.
Right.
And in the end, we got a better result anyway.
That's right.
I got so much that I'm going to be talking about, and I think it's really important. There's a battle for your thoughts. What do you think about life? What do you think about activities? What do you think about entertainment? Let me ask you this. What do you think about church and the people in it? Okay, let me just say it different. What do you think about church? Because church is made up of the people in it. What are you thinking about that? Are you able to bring a thought captive when you don't agree with something going on in the church? Or is it going to get in your flesh, and the next thing you know, you're going to stand on that, and you're going to tell everybody you can how horrible they are. And I'm just telling you, you didn't bring that captive. You didn't check it to the obedience of Christ, because it's not going to take you anywhere for the kingdom. It's going to remove things from the kingdom. So let's figure out a different way, because they're going to blame you for having scratches on your car you don't have. It's no different than at church. People are going to have a different way of doing things or have a different thought than you are. And I'm telling you, the enemy loves that. Why? Because it gets God's people in their flesh. It doesn't get them out of salvation. It gets them in their flesh. And we give place to the enemy. And when you give place to the enemy, the next thing you know, you're finding yourself at a place that, how did I ever get here? So we've got to learn to guard. Boy, I got a whole bunch more, and I'll talk about it more next week. Y'all stand with me tonight. To get anything from that this evening, I just think it's important that we guard. We place guards up. We place guards. Do what you can. As you're policing, I got to end with this. As you're policing your thoughts, you are responsible for knowing that the only way a policeman can guard a wrong is to know what's right. Did you get that? The only way you'll be able to guard a wrong thought is to know what the right thought is. And the right thought is to place yourself into a position to get equipped for the work of the ministry. And I applaud you that that's what you've done tonight. And not always is it just being there on a Wednesday. It's feeding yourself. And you do have the opportunity to go home and listen to more of this last weekend. Just when you're driving to work, at some point, put that in. You may not get the whole thing in, but don't miss it because you couldn't get all of it. Get what you can in, because I'm telling you, it's changed a lot of the way it changed how I responded to the lightning bolt. All of a sudden made me move, and I was thinking, I've got to be urgent. And I didn't think of that word. It's like, get out. But it's an urgency. There's an urgency for God's people. Boy, I hope you're hearing my heart on this. There's an urgency because there's people dying and going to hell. There is people not thinking right because God's people aren't thinking right. And so we've got to get our thinking right. And I believe that over the next few weeks, I'm going to give you some tools that'll help get that produced in your life.
Thank you for being part of our podcast today. You'll find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There's a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.